Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. I'm Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. I am in New York. Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Jay, Padres dropped the first one of this series yesterday. Matt Strom, except for the second inning. You can argue the first and the second inning was not precise, so that was enough. The Yankees have just enough pop to beat you, and their bullpen is spectacular. It's real, and it's spectacular.
And it's what a city for you to bring that up in, Kevin. But I it's funny you mentioned that, because I looked this morning to get some numbers, and Tommy Conley, Aroldis Chapman, Adam Ottavino, Zach Britton have pitched over 90 innings this season, and they've allowed 18 runs with 120 strikeouts. They are just murdering teams late in games. And when the Padres couldn't do better against Chad Green and David Hale yesterday, that was the end of it. I mean, there's just almost no chance to come back against that team. I mean, they had a couple of opportunities, but nothing developed. And Strom in that second inning just looked like he was sort of, nibbling around the strike zone, I guess. And and that's, not like him, and it wasn't like him later, but it cost him three runs, and unfortunately for the Padres, that was all that it took to beat them yesterday. And I do love that at least you got to see one of my favorite things in all of sports, which is the cheap home run at Yankee Stadium. There's just nothing like it in sports when somebody hits a pop-up and it goes over that cheap wall in right field for like 350 feet. The only thing missing from Gary Sanchez's pop fly home run yesterday was Jeffrey Mayer hanging over the wall to grab it. But that's always a great thing about it. Every Yankee Stadium has this cheap porch, and the left field one doesn't seem to come into play as much as the right field one does.
Yeah. And that doesn't work out well for, even though Gary Sanchez was opposite field, it doesn't work out well for the Padres, who pull a lot to left field and don't have anyone really who's going to pull the ball to right field. So,
and don't have anybody really that goes the other way that close to the line either on that from a right-handed standpoint. So it's, it doesn't exactly play into their hands there. And it was interesting that they showed, Hosmer came up late in the game, I think against Chapman, and the outfield, the center fielder and left fielder were shifted way around, and he ended up pulling the ball, but he didn't hit it hard, and it went right to the right fielder anyway. But
yeah, do you know who has the Padres' only pulled home run to right field?
Greg Garcia. I was just going to say it's got to be Greg Garcia, right?
Yep, Greg Garcia. I mean, Eric Hosmer is Mr. Oppo. So, anyway, if you saw, broke it down, it was the second shortest home run given up by a Padre, 353 feet. And nine of the 70 home runs, 353 or shorter, have been hit at Yankee Stadium.
Right. Well, didn't Gardner's go 352 or 353 also yesterday? So, at least his was a legitimate ball that was hit well and right down the line. But, yeah, it wasn't exactly a couple of 425-foot bombs that got them. There was, Frazier crushed his ball.
And obviously the Padres, they came in knowing this and like looking forward to it. They took advantage of another home run park in Toronto. So
yeah, we haven't talked since the weekend. I mean, that was an amazing show they put on over the week, especially Friday and Saturday, obviously. I think they hit 10 home runs in those two games, including seven on Saturday. And again, none of those were cheap either. I mean, most of those were just blasted. You know, I think the average was 390 something feet for those home runs. 86 meters, I think I figured out on Saturday.
You did do the math.
I did. I love the meters. The Yankees pose, of course, a huge test that the Blue Jays didn't. The Yankees are 35-18, and they've played a lot of bad teams lately. Baltimore, Kansas City, Seattle, but they're doing what you should do when you play bad teams, which is win every game against them, and that's mostly what they've done. And they have won. They did win 4 out of 6 against Tampa recently as well, and Tampa's very good. So the Yankees, I think, have won 17 of their last 21. So they're obviously playing great. They're an amazing story because all these guys are on the DL, assuming that they play tonight, which I guess it's raining and might rain most of the day. But Tanaka is pitching for the Yankees, he's been excellent. And then tomorrow in the afternoon, when Chris Paddock goes for the Padres, it looks like James Paxton could come off the injured list and face him. So the Padres are not going to get any breaks when it comes to pitching, facing pitch, good Yankee pitching. This is going to be a difficult couple days before they come home and play the Marlins. So,
yes, indeed, the Marlins, and you gotta hope there that there's a. You're speaking of feasting on bad teams, and that's what the Padres should be doing now. But the challenge ahead here is the Yankees. Interleague. It's been interesting now with Naylor, Allen. I think that we're going to see Francisco Mejia soon. I think Austin Allen still has some work to do. What have you thought, Jay, about the the second best catching prospect? If you count Francisco Mejia,
I don't know. Yeah. Has he shown much of anything so far?
Nothing. Absolutely. I know it's catching you off guard with the question, but that's the point there.
Okay, because I was thinking if I had missed something. I mean, I don't see every inning of every game, but when I've seen him play, he came up the other day, and I was even thinking, have we seen anything out of Austin Allen so far? And I guess he had a double the other day, which I missed.
And in no way am I writing him off. I know,
and it's early. That's
not
the thing.
Happening right now.
Right, it's not, and so I'm eager to see Mejia come back. I mean, the Padres are going to need a pitcher on Saturday, the way things stand
now. That's Nick Margavichus.
Okay.
So if he... Kelly Lucchese rescheduled the Friday, I believe Nick Margavichus on Saturday.
Okay, and then they can come back with Strom on Strom on Sunday for a special 3 o'clock game on Marathon Sunday here in San Diego. So don't show up too early for that one, Kevin.
Well, I know that, and it's actually one of my favorites, and I mean this seriously, because by the time that I am cruising the 163, going down the hill, right, just about to get on the 5 South there, I am passing the closed portion, the northbound of the 163, where the people that are taking 5 and 6 hours to finish the marathon,
right,
and it truly is inspirational at that point. You're like, go! How much? So I actually look forward to that, because that's as close as I will come to a marathon.
Right, right. we'll see Margavichus back. I didn't know if it would be him or Logan Allen, but if it's going to be
I've heard it's Margavichus, and it could be based on as much as anything the fact that he pitched on Friday, and he's been up here, and it's like, okay, we're going to manipulate him. Whereas I think they've manipulated Logan Allen, who's basically on the same day in terms of getting the 4 days rest, but I think that they're planning on a Logan Allen call up sometime in June, and believe that Margavichus is the better guy to bring up now.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll see. See that. And I know Jeff Sanders saw him pitch a couple innings in Amarillo over the weekend. Jeff was down there gathering a couple stories. We'll have the first one of those online either today or tomorrow, so everyone can look forward to seeing what Jeff came up with down in Amarillo. I know one story we had planned on was Andres Munoz, and of course he got called up like 3 days before Jeff arrived. So we'll have to try to catch him in El Paso at some point, or he could come up here before we even get to El Paso. Right. So you may end up doing that story as well. Anything to worry about with Paddock, or do you think that this is all on the up and up with the neck, and that we'll see him tomorrow?
They've been so upfront about resting him, and the way the circumstances came down, I believe that this is we can't trust anything with injuries, right? Both by subterfuge and maybe some deceit, but mostly just like gamesmanship. You don't give away a lot with injuries, but we can't trust anything word for word, but I just think this is exactly how it happened. He slept wrong, and they decided, hey, you know what? We're going to keep Strom and Lauer on where we have them and give this guy an extra couple of days rest. It's just easier with Chris Paddock to say, okay, we're going to shut him down. We're not going to try to, hey, are you going to be okay this day or this day? Nope, we're going to add a couple of days. I just think they've been so upfront. Robbie Irwin didn't know he was starting till Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. I actually take them, and believe me, I'm gun shy as heck now about his with this team. I take them at their word on this Chris Paddock thing. Jay, my last thing is I think that there have been some troubling signs with the bullpen.
Right. No, there's no question. I mean, it kind of showed up the other day on Sunday with the bullpen game, which didn't go very well. It was kind of funny to see Robbie Erlin treat it like an actual bullpen appearance.
Yes.
You know, warming up in the top of the first, and then the gate opened for him to come out there in the bottom of the first. But, you know, Perdomo was not good that day. Whistler gave up a couple home runs. So that wasn't great. And then, the Yankees did a bullpen game yesterday. You know, and I saw some people critical of the Padres for doing a bullpen game. Look, they did a lot of bullpen games last year that worked out great. The bullpen this time pitched crappy, so it looked like a crappy move. But the Yankees did a bullpen game yesterday, and it worked out great because you know why? Because their pitchers pitch well. Like most things in baseball, it comes down to how are the players performing, and the bullpen on Sunday didn't perform well. It doesn't mean they can't do bullpen games later in the season. And, you know, I'm sure we'll see some of them even with a guy like when Denelson Lamet comes back. You know, I mean, he's not going to throw more than four or five innings, I wouldn't think, in too many starts. So, you know, those are almost bullpen games. And bullpen games come down to the bullpen. Are the guys going to pitch well, or are they going to stink? And on Sunday, the Padres mostly stunk. So it doesn't mean it's the wrong move. It just didn't work out in this particular case. Like I said, the Yankees did the same thing yesterday and allowed two runs and won the game. So Kevin, I know you have a train to catch. Got to get out to the Bronx.
Looking forward to it. It actually is a very nice ballpark, and the area around it, you know, is very nice. And it's just not old Yankee Stadium, if I could just say that.
Okay, well, you're allowed to say that. I was at the the old one, not the old Yankee Stadium. I think we're both a little too young for that. But the old Yankee Stadium, I did get there a couple times and enjoyed it. There's just that sense of history there. That's probably missing a little bit from this one, but it did look like a great atmosphere yesterday with a full house, and
it's neat. It is.
Yeah.
It is.
It's still neat seeing games there.
Like I said, I think today I'll be waiting out some thunderstorms, as they call them here.
Right. All right. Well, we'll look forward to whatever happens the next couple of days, and then we'll have you back in town, and we'll talk again on Friday.
Thanks, everybody.